All right. You just once read this, the entire khutbah of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba in that.
After
that
the sign, yeah, the priest did you assign.
Exactly.
Okay.
When Muawiyah claims such, Imam Hassan starts speaking. It's a very long kind of sermon. It's very beautiful. In Tafasir al-Riwa'i of Ahl al-Sunnah and Shia, under the ayah, إِنَّمَا يُرِدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ. If you refer to Tafasir al-Riwa'i, you see this beautiful sermon of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba there. In that khutbah, one of the points that Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba emphasized a lot, and the same thing was also emphasized by Imam Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salatu wasalam, when the people take him to the masjid to do bay'ah to the first caliph, Imam Ali also emphasized this point in that khutbah as well. Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba tell the people that, O people, if you do not support and help and take action to support Harun, Harun was legitimately Khalifa of the Musa.
Okay.
Imam Hassan says that if people do not take action, do not follow, do not support Harun, then of course Samiri will be successful automatically.
Okay.
It's a very beautiful point that mentioned by Imam Hassan. Imam Hassan telling the people that if you now support me, that I am the true Khalifa of the Prophet, then you will be successful, O people. At the end of this khutbah, Imam Hassan repeatedly says that, O people, just think, just be mindful what I told you. In the presence of Muawiyah, he says this.
Yes.
Says that, okay, if you support the true Khalifa Harun, Harun will be successful. If you do not take any action, even Harun, who is appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the wazir of Musa, Samiri will be victorious. You know? This is a very beautiful point.
And the Samiri, that's right.
Yeah, okay. Sometimes when why Karbala happened?
Yes.
Karbala happened means what? It means Samiri was successful.
Because the son of Samiri
was successful. Okay. Exactly. Right. We cannot say that Imam Hussein was not the true Khalifa of the Prophet. He was.
Yeah.
But the people did not take action. Imam Hussein many times called upon them in Mecca, in Medina, in the way from Mecca to Kufa, even in Karbala, on the very day of the Ashura, he called upon the people. But so no one actually listened to
the
these.
The elites, the so-called elites, head of the tribes,
exactly.
Son of this caliph, son of that so-called caliph, you know, they
and
were
after,
all quiet.
After Shahada of Imam
Hussein. Being around Kaaba and worshipping.
Exactly. After Shahada of Imam Hussein, when Yazid attacked Medina and did all those wrong things with the people of Medina.
Burning Kaaba.
And he burned Kaaba.
Yes.
Yeah, and many other events. When took place, then the people understood that Hussein was right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it was too late.
Yeah.
So that's why justice, or let's say truth, cannot be always victorious.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a prophet maybe for more than 1,000 years try to guide the people, but people might not listen to him, as the story of Prophet Nuh.
No, that's right. Even his own son.
Sometimes even the children, the household of a prophet may not listen to him, like Prophet Lut.
Yes.
So we cannot say that here, for example, Prophet Lut is wrong or Prophet Nuh alayhi billah is wrong. No, they are right.
Yes.
Finally, the truth will be, for example, victorious. But the point is that the people also should take action.
All right.
The people of truth also should not
Very
keep
good.
Silent. Yeah, this is the duty of Muslims.
Is it true that to say that the final truth would be the reappearance of Imam Asr? I mean, he is the final manifestation of the truth and haq on earth over battle?
So it would be correct to say that when he comes, that victory of truth over falsehood would be complete on the globe. Right?
Yes.
So
and what are its fruits? I mean, so what kind of victory shall we witness on that time? I mean, what type of victory is this? For example, justice is one of them. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So justice will be established on earth, and you know the riwayat, the traditions, they tell us as well, just as oppression and bloodshed was, you know, common across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
And as we see today, you know, it's getting more and more common. Things that we, you know, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, we would have thought, you know, could never happen. Now people are getting used to them, right? They're getting desensitized to them. It's just like another, just another number that this many Palestinians have died, this many children have died. Children.
It's like a ministerial for some of the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
It was one time the ISIS who was killing the people. People were looking for the new clips. Now the people of Palestine being bombarded. You know, it's something usual on the TV channels, social media.
It's extremely unfortunate. But when that government is established across the globe, then we are told that justice will be established, that, you know, that will be the prevailing of truth over falsehood at this plane of, of existence, which is the material plane in the world.
That's all right. So we could see that so many people are waiting for, I mean, the reappearance of Imam As. Again, so many other people will reappear with Imam As again, you know. Even in our ahadith, we have that they will, that's right, lead their prayer behind Imam As as their leader. So the final victory. But now, you know, something which is happening nowadays, Sheikh, which makes it very much different from the past, is that is the media. The media is showing falsehood as right and truth, and truth as falsehood. So we could see that, for instance, giving an extreme picture of the religion of Islam, or a good picture out of, I don't know, this and that movement. So what shall we do in order not to be misguided on social media or TV channels, miniseries, videos, or something like that, Sheikh?
I want to look at this issue from a kind of transphysical perspective as well. You know, because according to our beliefs, according to the ayat of the Holy Quran, Satan has his own army in this world. You know, the army of Satan is of two types of creatures. Some of them are men, human beings, and some of them are jinns. So they both work together.
All right.
Nowadays, when we talk about jinn, some people might say, okay, it is invisible kind of creatures, it cannot do anything. No, of course not. You know, they are together with men, they support each other, and they work for Satan.
All
because satanic powers are for this, are the, for the like servants of Satan.
So jinn has good and bad people
too,
isn't
it? Of course. So that's why I want to tell my brothers, mu'mineen, that first of all, they must try their best not to be deceived by these kind of satanic temptations.
All right.
Sometimes they might come to you from man, from people, but sometimes, no, it might come from some kind of invisible, unseen world. It can affect you. That is absolute, according to the ayat and riwayat. For Muslims. So that's why when you, for example, you are, when you are a people of, for example, prayer, I mean, the people who fast, who pray, who practically Muslims, these kind of people will be saved from these satanic temptations. Because now, the point is that why we go towards those kind of media that deceives us? The question is this. That why we are desirous towards those kind of things? First, we should ask this. Yeah, everything is available. But the point is that why am I now, for example, me and my friend goes to another way, I go to this way. So I should ask myself that why am I inclined towards these kind of things and my friend is inclined towards those good things? Why? Where does this mentality come? You know, this is the most important question. Of course, as you rightly mentioned, the mass media is there. They are always deceiving, temptating the people.
And the rate of research and study is low and becoming lower and lower among the people, because the people, we can say, are the users and the consumers of fast, we can say, hectic world. I mean, these productions which are over there, they believe it soon, okay? They believe it soon and they scroll up over the cell phone and social media. This news is here and there. And especially the target audience are the Muslims and their cultures, unfortunately.
Of course, it is. But the point is that why sometimes I search some bad things, but my friends search good things. You know, we have the same, let's say, device. If you check my device, I see many things bad. But if you check my friend's device, see many things, good things in that social media, for example. This is the point that we should ask ourselves, that why am I sometimes very much desirous towards these kind of things? We should find the solution.
That's right.
If you are in a very good, let's say, imani, faithful kind of environment, spiritual kind of environment, it automatically makes you desirous towards good things.
That's right.
Nowadays, for example, sometimes we see some very good people in America, in Canada, in Europe. They are really good mu'mineen while they're within those kind of environment that everything is available for them. Lots of haram things are available. But they really preserve. They really protect themselves. But we, in the presence of Lady Masuma, salamullah alayhi, in the holy shrine, sometimes might do something wrong. You know?
Okay.
This is the mentality of the people.
Very good.
It should be always...
All right. Thank you.
Thought about, yes.
Say it, anything missed?
One thing I'll emphasize, and Sheikh, he mentioned it as well, is being very critical of our sources that we are, especially when it comes to what's happening around the world, because it is quite clear that there are these very rich companies that are trying to forward their own agenda, mm-hmm. or these nations, mm-hmm. Different news, channels and companies. So we should be very, very careful and look at our sources quite, in detail and see, what kind of news should I read? What kind of news should I not read? Right? It's not the case that, you can just let yourself go and just be reading everything and believing in everything. Yes, a critical person looks at both sides and tries to find the truth and all these things. Yes, but we have to be aware of who's behind.
That's right.
We have to be aware of the agenda as well.
Okay.
Because these news, companies, they're very good at what they do.
Yes.
Right? They're very good at mixing truth and falsehood for their own agendas.
Maybe they say some truth, some pieces of truth, mm-hmm. in order to attract your eyes, but... In those truths, there are so many, we can't say, pieces of false news too.
For further agenda. And I think a clear example is what's happening in Palestine.
In Palestine, right? That's right.
That a side that cannot be defended, right? Like it's if somebody knows anything about what's happening and what this Zionist regime, what they're doing, they cannot be defended, the types All of right. things that they're doing.
Okay.
But these news agencies are somehow able to, convince people that, it's you have to be support both sides, mm-hmm. and there is good and evil on both sides. These kind of ideas, but we have to be very, very careful our sources. Inshallah.
May Allah help us from the satanic temptations, and may Allah help us to decide on the right side of the history, as Supreme Leader of Iran said that. That's right, to the Europeans and the students of the foreign universities all across the world, that you are on the right side of the history, okay? And standing by the right side of the history and the truth is really, really important. Thank you, Imam Sayyid Zain and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of truth and falsehood from the perspective of the Holy Quran. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of We Are Points. Please, for more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
the limelight.
The American Brown University could become the fifth university in the country to lose federal funding. All the schools that have their federal funding slashed so far are Ivy League institutions. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, the Trump administration is reportedly targeting a $510 million cut in federal contracts and grants to Brown University for alleged anti-Semitism on campus and reviewing their diversity, equity, and inclusion policies while it aggressively expands its campaign to hold U.S. universities accountable, according to reports. The Daily Caller was the first to report on the freeze recently, with CNN saying that it also heard the news from a White House official. While university officials said they had not been formally notified, the school was among dozens warned in March that enforcement actions could be coming as the administration seeks to crack down on academic institutions. Rhode Island's Brown University has an endowment that was valued at $7.2 billion last summer. Brown Provost Francis J. Doyle III sent a message to stakeholders across campus recently saying they were aware of troubling rumors emerging about federal funding cuts to research grants. The provost said, according to a statement shared with the Middle East Eye, we will not repeat these various rumors, including unsubstantiated reports by online outlets, but it is important to share that at this moment, we have no information to substantiate any of these rumors. In your respective roles as chairs and faculty directors, please share this information with your concerned faculty. We are closely monitoring notifications related to grants, but have nothing more we can share as of now. Similar to dozens of other universities, students at the Ivy League school protested against Israel's war on Gaza, setting up an encampment on the grassy quad at the heart of Brown's campus. But unlike at many other universities, Brown administrators chose to negotiate rather than clear the demonstrations forcefully. It has become the fifth known and latest Ivy League university to potentially face a loss of their federal funding. In March this year, Columbia University became the first university to lose some federal funding when the Trump administration slashed $400 million in federal funds. In a press statement at the time, the agencies involved in reviewing the university said the funding cuts were due to the school's continued inaction in the face of persistent harassment of Jewish students. Secretary of Education Linda McMahon said in the press release, since October 7, 2023, Jewish students have faced relentless violence, intimidation, and anti-Semitic harassment on their campuses, only to be ignored by those who are supported to protect them. The statement warned that the cancellations represent the first round of action, and additional cancellations are expected to follow. Columbia University currently holds more than $5 billion in federal grant commitments. The amount announced in March is almost eight times more than the amount the Federal Task Force on Anti-Semitism announced it was considering holding earlier. On April 1st, the Trump administration suspended several dozen research grants totaling $210 million to Princeton University as part of an ongoing investigation into anti-Semitism on campus, according to the White House and the Department of Energy. Princeton President Christopher Eskraber said in a message on April 1st to the university community that the full rationale for this action is not yet clear. Meanwhile, on March 31st, the government told Harvard University it would review nearly $9 billion in multi-year grant commitments to the university as part of an investigation over anti-Semitism. The review will include more than $255.6 million in current contracts and $8.7 billion in grants spread over multiple layers. Harvard University has also been given a set conditions that it must meet, including a mask ban and removal of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs to receive federal money. The review is being conducted by the Department of Education, the Department of Health and Human Services, and the U.S. General Services Administration. McMahon said in a statement that while Harvard has served as a symbol of the American dream of generations, it had failed to protect students from anti-Semitic discrimination and had promoted divisive ideologies over free inquiry. The Trump administration's cancellation of $400 million in federal funding to Columbia University demanded in exchange that Columbia change its disciplinary policies and place its Middle Eastern, African, and South Asian studies programs under administrative control. Columbia University caved to many of the Trump administration's demands, but the exchange resulted in national backlash and the abrupt departure of the university's interim president, Linda Armstrong, last week. The University of Pennsylvania, President Donald Trump's alma mater, was hit with $175 million in cuts over policies allowing some issues to compete in women's sports. In an announcement on March 10th, the Department of Education published a list of 60 universities that are presently under investigation for Title VI violations relating to anti-Semitic harassment and discrimination. Human rights advocates and academic experts have condemned the moves as an assault on freedom of speech and academic freedom.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brother, dear sister, salam. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for choosing this program to listen to, in which we're going to speak about the Holy Quran in life. Today is Tuesday, 9th of Shawwal, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Farvardin, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar. and the 8th of April 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. By the way, as always, and as the ritual of this program, we open Allah's book first from chapter Fussilat, verses 41 to 42. We want to learn more.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الذين كفروا بالذكر لما جاءهم وإنه لكتاب عزيز.
Indeed, those who disbelieve in the message after it has come to them, and indeed, it is a mighty book.
لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه تنزيل من حكيم حميد.
Falsehood cannot approach it from before it or from behind it. It is a revelation from a Lord who is wise and praiseworthy.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Holy Quran reminds man of his neglect and negligence. The title Aziz means the honorable is exclusively employed to refer to Holy Quran from amongst scriptures. The blessed verses are addressed to all polytheists and disbelievers who regard the Holy Quran as encompassing magic and falsehood, and also those who do not believe in some of the Quranic injunctions, for example, usury, murder, adultery, and calumnious accusation and slander, as well as divine commands as to one-fifth tax and pilgrimage to Mecca and act against them. It also addresses those who subjectively interpret Quranic verses like those regarding the guardianship, infallibility, and purity of Ahlul Bayt, Prophet's family. Peace be upon them all.
إِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ لَنُورٌ يَتَفَجَّرُ فِي جَنَبَاتِ يَرْفَعُنِي عِنْدَ مَلِيكِ الْخَلْقِ لِأَعْلَى الدَّرَجَاتِ
إِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ لَنُورٌ
يَتَفَجَّرُ فِي جَنَبَاتِ يَرْفَعُنِي عِنْدَ مَلِيكِ الْخَلْقِ لِأَعْلَى الدَّرَجَاتِ
قُرْآنِي نبض حياتي قُرْآنِي طهر ذاتي قُرْآنِي عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي.
So during the new series of today's special, during this week, we focus our lenses on Quran and our daily life. The Quran advocates for worship of the Almighty, peaceful coexistence, and a balanced, healthy lifestyle steering clear of hedonistic pursuits. These divine values foster humility, reverence, freedom, responsibility, and empowerment, encouraging individual to transform their lives positively. Moreover, the Quran presents the Prophet Muhammad as the quintessential role model, embodying goodness, righteousness, and divine love. His life exemplifies the teachings of the Quran, inspiring believers to emulate his example.
Sayyid Muhammad Ridwi.
Imam Ali alayhi salam was not only talking, he wanted this to, he was dictating it. He wanted somebody to write it down. He says, Wallah, Wallah, I remind you of Allah. I remind you of Allah. Fil Quran. Let me connect it to Hadith Saqalain, one of the last advice that the Prophet gave. And he uttered these words not once, many, many places, many, many times. Where he says, "Inni tarikum fikum saqalain." that I am leaving two precious things among you. One is the Book of Allah, and the other is the Ahlul Bayt. And the emphasis that we see, for example, in Sahih Tirmidhi, the version of this hadith says that as long as you hold on fast to both of them, لَن تَضِلُّ بَعْدِي, you will not go astray after me. And so this issue of holding on the Quran and holding on to the Ahlul Bayt, what does it mean? It's not like, you know, I'm holding the Quran here. No. Basically, we are talking about living by the Quran. That is what it means, as a guide for ourselves. Holding onto the Ahlul Bayt means what? You know, it is basically implementing their teachings in our life, their series, their seerat and their example. And this is something, actually, in Sahih Muslim, the same hadith of Saqalain has come, where the Prophet, you know, very similar words that Amir al-Mu'minin uses it in this wasiyat. He says, I remind you, I udhakirukum, double times. I remind you, and then he says the whole sentence three times. I remind you of the Ahlul Bayt, how you deal with them. I will ask you what you did with my Ahlul Bayt.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
This is today's special and Quranic lesson. Quran brings happiness in this world and the hereafter. How? Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, if you desire the life of the fortunate, the death of a martyr, the salvation on the day of regret, and the shade on the day of extreme heat, then you should read the Quran because it is the word of the merciful and sanctuary from shaitan, and it causes the titling of the balance. In another hadith, we read that the Prophet has said, the reciter of the Quran will be spared from the calamities of the hereafter. Our supplications get answered if we were to pray after reading the Quran. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, said, one who starts the Quran and finishes it, Allah will grant him one answered supplication. It also helps in strengthening our faith. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, reciting the Quran plants the seed of faith. We spoke about recitation. One of the tips to improve our understanding of the Holy Quran is listening to Holy Quran, the recitation of the Holy Quran. Just listening them. Some people learn more effectively by listening than by reading. There are currently several audio cassettes and CDs of the Quran, many of which include translations. This is ideal for listening to on your device or in your car, CD player, or radio while you commute to and from work. Use this in addition to, not instead of your regular Quran reading. You'll gain lots of good deeds from Allah by listening carefully to Quran recitation. We finish this episode by listening to this verse from chapter Al-A'raf. Allah, the Almighty, says, And when the Quran is recited, listen to it attentively and keep silent so that you receive mercy.
Today we want to look at a tradition, a hadith from the Messenger of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, in which he gives us a beautiful similitude of the Quran in our hearts. And he gives us an antidote to clear and to purify and to remove any of the impurities which may have built upon our hearts over the last 11 months. And the Prophet says the following in this tradition. These hearts, just like iron, become rusted. And the way to remove this rust, the way to clean the rust from the hearts, is through the recitation of the Quran. I'm sure all of us have seen rust build up on metal tools, for example, that we might use in our garden, or for example, in our cars, or in many different things that have stayed outside, and the elements, you know, the water gets to it, the air, all of these chemicals get to these products and items that we might use in our gardens or around the house on a day-to-day basis, and they develop a covering over top of them, whether it be rust or air or something else. And obviously when we have that rust build up, we tend to want to clean it, to polish it. If it's some tarnish on a utensil, we want to polish it to make it look nice. If it's something that we're using, let's say in the garden, we might want to remove the rust from that to allow that tool to last longer, so it doesn't rot away, whatever the case may be. And so the noble messenger in this tradition shows us that just like these things develop a coating that we want to remove, similar do our hearts develop this coating, this rust, this impurity upon it. Many times we don't have really an opportunity to connect to Allah fully with a full focus and devotion to Him. We all lead obviously busy lives, and sometimes things just don't work out for us. And so we sometimes shirk in our responsibilities and our commitment to the faith. But definitely each and every single believer make an extra point to recite the Quran, to engage in extra worship. And as the messenger says, that the way to clean this rust from our heart, the way to polish our heart and remove any spiritual impurities which may have developed within it, is to engage in the recitation of the noble Quran. And so with such a reward promised to us, not only this numerical reward, but also a benefit of removing the rust from our hearts.
That was today's special from IRIB English Radio. We leave you in Allah's care. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Welcome to the Israel Watch, which monitored Trump's threats to Iran and Tehran's response. The Israeli attacks on Syria, the continued missile launches from Yemen on the Israeli entity, as well as the expansion of the aggression on the Gaza Strip, And finally, internal Israeli divisions. We discuss these topics with Dr. Mohsen Saleh, president of the International Association of Political Experts. Hello and welcome, Dr. Mohsen.
Thank you. Hello.
In Hebrew media, there are those who do not want or who do not expect Trump to launch a military attack on Iran to protect Israelis due to the repercussions this would have on the U.S. economy. Dr. Mohsen, do you think that Israelis would actually launch an attack on Iran and then drag the United States into that war?
Not without the United States, well, not without the approval of the United States, because we know that Israelis are afraid from the experience with Iran and with the access of the resistance in the region. They are afraid from Yemen. They were afraid and still afraid from Lebanon and Syria and, of course, Gaza and the West Bank. So they calculated very well that Trump, if he doesn't go to launch an attack on Iran, then they will have to wait, especially in this amalgamation of the economic war against everybody, even against the consumers of the American consumers. So we are talking about a new phase of the wars, especially in the economic aspect. Would the Americans and even the Arabs allow Trump to launch an attack on Iran at the time when they are having this feeling that all the oil fields in the Gulf would have a special attack to eliminate all the oil wells? I doubt it. Mm-hmm. So the Israelis are stuck.
So they would rather push the United States to launch that war, Dr. Mohsen.
And even they now, at this moment, I guess they don't have this opportunity because Iran and its power, and also
they are threatening of launching an attack.
They have been threatening for
and they have the capabilities
for decades. They have the capability of very on some spots, but you know that there are 18 places, 18 posts of the nuclear enrichment in many areas in Iran. So they can't damage the Iranian nuclear centrifuges unless they have something inside which they lack. They don't have. So we are having this opportunity for Iran in order to impose some of the political agenda in the region, especially in Yemen and in Palestine, more than the Israelis. The Israelis are stuck, mm-hmm. especially in Syria, especially in Lebanon. Ortegos and others who are reaching the region, they have no opportunity in order to find a peace settlement with the Palestinians and with the Lebanese. So we are having a lot of complications here and ramifications of all these talks, and they can't settle the issues unless the Russians and the Chinese come to the table, which is very far-fetched, let's to say.
Okay.
They can't do to that to that area.
To the Gaza Strip, where the bloody wide-scale Israeli aggression continues, the occupation is expanding into large areas inside the Strip, including taking control of the Murag axis south of Gaza and cutting the road between Rafah and Khan Yunus. Where is this Israeli aggression on Gaza heading towards, Dr. Mohsen, and what's the significance of occupying the Murag axis that separates Khan Yunus from Rafah?
Well, it's the whole issue, the whole spectrum of this attack on Gaza, and I would agree on this puzzlement of the some of the journalists about the Netanyahu's plans in Gaza,
mm-hmm.
whether they want to put down Hamas, dismantle Hamas, and try to evacuate the Strip from Hamas and its power. But as far as they are negotiating with Hamas, and they are obliged to go to these negotiations with Hamas because of the hostages, I guess Hamas is in a good shape. And they have this power in order to impose some of the conditions against Netanyahu. Especially they are perplexed. They have this problem in trying to arrange the issue with Qatar, with Egypt, and with Jordan.
Maybe they're only doing it because of the captives, not for any other reason, Dr.
Absolutely, yes. And they are trying to, of course, to evacuate. And this this block and checkpoint and to separate Khan Yunis from Rafah in order to evacuate or find a way to the Palestinians.
As you were highlighting, divide and conquer.
Yes. And I guess the Palestinians are still stuck to Hamas's agenda. And they have to, because they have no other solutions, either to evacuate Gaza and leave Gaza, or to stick to the resistance, which Hamas has been doing for 2 years after the 7th of October. And I guess Hamas, in spite of all these losses in martyrs and children, and of course with the buildings and casualties and injured people, and all these political media doing in their minds, in the minds of the Palestinians and the Arabs. But I guess the results won't be on the interests, in the Israeli interests,
okay,
and the Americans as well. Let's be frank. Now the situation in Gaza, especially in Gaza and in the Arab world, it's not right away for the Israeli interest directly, because also they have this split and this division and this problem inside the Israeli
society. Okay, but do you think what's
Israeli
happening?
Society.
Okay, but
so
do you
the
think
consequences for
yes.
the Palestinians are not more than what has happened.
Okay, though there is a mere media blackout for us to understand that vision. But however,
right.
do you think what's happening in Gaza will give full control for Netanyahu to actually control the Gaza Strip?
Absolutely not.
We're seeing massacres.
They could not. Still, there
past
are
2 days.
Missiles and rockets going from Gaza into the settlements. Still, the political situation, especially in the Arab world, they can't agree with Netanyahu to evacuate, and Trump to their plan to evacuate Gaza, in spite of all these problems and dangerous attacks against the civilians and the hospitals, of course. So we are having a kind of dilemma for both, for the Arabs and for the Israelis and the Americans. They are stuck in their plans, and there is no plan for uprooting, let's to say, the Palestinians, neither for the Palestinians in order to achieve an independent Gaza, regardless of the Arab opinion. Mm-hmm. So we are having such a dilemma, such a crisis, that we should calculate it anew, in order to give space for the resistance, in order to recollect its power and its plans inside Gaza and in other places. So we are having this this rest or this truce in order to recollect the power of these two teams, whether the Israelis and the Americans. And the Americans, they have problem with the world now, especially what I have mentioned
yes.
about the economic situation. So we
okay.
are in a state of limbo.
Okay.
We are in a state of limbo for everybody,
okay.
for everybody.
However,
in Syria and in Lebanon.
Okay, now moving to the recent Israeli aggression on Syria, which targeted Damascus, Hama Airport, and other areas. Hebrew media confirmed it was an Israeli message to Turkey against setting up military bases or bringing weapons into Syria. Do you think that this aggression would actually bring up a new phase of confrontation between Turkey and Israel?
Well, in spite of all these statements of the foreign minister, of the Israeli foreign minister and the Turkish foreign minister, that they don't want any direct clashes with each other in Syria, especially in Syria, it seems that the situations and the expeditions, the Israeli expeditions, and of course the existence in Syria, of course the Turks have really, they have helped and they have toppled the Assad's regime, and they helped this Julani's team and their parties. I guess the situation is going to deteriorate, because the Israelis, they are afraid that especially from the resistance in the southern part, to increase and to accelerate its actions.
So they are going to fight each other, Turkey and Israel?
They are fighting each other by indirectly. But will they go into war against each other in spite of all this situation, because they belong to the NATO? Of course, Israel is not a member in the NATO. The Turks, of course, they are in the NATO, and they are the second power in the NATO. But I guess
that's not enough reason for them not to actually go into war against each other, even if they are members of the NATO.
Yeah, but there is a situation where the Israelis have this limitations of movement against the Turks, because they have other battlefields in Lebanon, in Gaza, and in Yemen as well. So
what about the stance of the United States? Would the United States actually approve on that, because they're both allies?
That's another problem. That's another problem. Probably Obama, he likes, as he said, he likes Erdogan. But at the same time, we have to see the aftermath of this war, economic war, and we have to see also the Turks' interests in Syria. Will the Turks allow the Israelis to invade till Damascus, and they will take the north, and they have to share
divide Syria? Okay.
To share Syria, okay. And they have indirect
talks. You're speaking about an agreement here to avoid a war,
a secret agreement.
Okay.
Covered agreement.
Yes, it's very important. It's very important to actually listen to the Israeli social media. Israeli social media discussed the Israeli aggression on Syria. Here are some of the comments.
Nimrod Madar. The attack on the T4 airport, where the Turks attempted to establish a military base, is a correct and important step. Israel must make it clear to Turkey and to the Julani group that it will not accept Turkish presence on the land of our northern neighbor. We must actively work to enhance Israeli influence in Syria and push the Turks out of the area. Israeli-Kurdish Friendship Association. Israel will bomb any Turkish military base on Syrian territory and will not allow the establishment of Turkish bases there. Ilabi. To this day, Syria is still considered a sovereign state. Let's begin with that to conclude that Israeli action inside Syria constitutes a violation of international law. So good luck to our soldiers in The Hague.
Our time is up. Dr. Mohsen Saleh, President of the International Association of Political Experts, thank you for joining
us.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Iran says the ball is in the U.S.'s court as it announces high-level indirect negotiations with Washington on Saturday, rejecting Donald Trump's claim about direct talks. China says it will fight to the end in response to the U.S. president's threat of an additional 50% tariff on Chinese imports. And Israel's continued strikes on Gaza kill more Palestinians amid fresh warnings about the deteriorating humanitarian crisis in the besieged territory. Let's go ahead and get started with the stories that matter. The Iranian foreign minister has rejected U.S. President Donald Trump's claim that Tehran and Washington will hold direct talks on Iran's nuclear program. Trump made the claim on the sidelines of his meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Washington. In response, Abbas Araghchi reaffirmed in a social media post that the Saturday meeting between Iran and the United States